now, how do I take this down to a level for my kids?
We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Shriver. And today you are listening to episode 10, Lead the Conversation. This is our follow-up podcast to the amazing podcast on Freedom, Part 2 with Helen Alvarez. Today, we will not be having any guest callers with us, but what we are doing is we will be answering questions that or comments that we've collected. So, Becky, as we lead into that, do you want to start off with one of the comments that we've come across as a result of that last podcast?
Okay, so we have Christine so sweetly said, just finished the latest episode, the best ever, that we really hit it out of the park, this episode in our discussion with Helen Alvarez and true femininity. So I think it's really striking a chord. Cheers and screams, Carrie Taranzini. She, the same, was just talking about how this was so good. But one of the questions that Carrie had was, okay, so I'm sitting here, I've listened to this podcast and shaking my head, yes, yes, this is good. Now, how do I take this down to a level for my kids to understand? How do I start teaching these truths? Yeah, how do I take this down to my kids' level? Now, Carrie has some older children. She has one in college. She still has two at home, one with special needs and one is in high school. So she's going to be looking for some ideas for that, for those ages, but even for people like me who have kids who are still younger, young teenagers and below.
Sure. It's a great question. Do you have an answer? Are you waiting for
not
me?
Yeah. Well, I think you could definitely talk to the older.
Sure. Sure.
Kids. Yeah.
Well, you know, in some ways, the older kids are easier in the sense that we can share information. We can share empirical data with them. And so it becomes not just, oh, wow, my mom's telling me about a curfew or my mom's telling me about something that I've got to do. Now we're inviting them into an adult conversation. And we're sharing data and information for them to consume as well. And what happens in that is it generates a really great conversation. We are treating them as the adult that they are growing into. We're giving them an opportunity to ask questions or maybe even counter that with something else that they've seen. It is a great opportunity to continue to go back and forth and really and know the truth and circle back on that. And you know your kids best, right? So one of my children, older children, is very much into science. And I read a book a couple years ago called Hooked. And I would love to include it in the show notes. I think every parent should read this. And the subtitle is, you know, How Sex is Killing Our Children. It is so fascinating. And it is all based on neuroscience. Wow, that type of message that I could have my, you know, rising college daughter take in was so much more than this idea of mom getting on her high horse or mom talking from the church. This is so cool. This is science. Look what happens in our brains. Look, isn't this amazing how these patterns happen and why these medical doctors are saying really the best thing to do is to abstain. So for her, that was an amazing interest level. And that was more compelling to her. My son, who's 14, talking about things like pornography, you know, there's so many great resources as well. And the neuroscience there is really intriguing. So I think the older kids sometimes make it easier to have the conversation because We have data outside of what Mother Church says that is so supportive of ultimately what the church teachings are. So hopefully that made some sense on the older kids. As far as the younger kids, it becomes like any other virtue that we try to instill in our child, whether it's manners or being kind or being respectful. We model it and we lovingly remind them and teach them in those moments what would have been the greatest choice. And what we're really doing is teaching them that that action of freedom for versus freedom from by those, you know, those teachable moments. Can't think of an example right off the top of my head, but we do this a lot as mothers. And maybe we've experienced something in the supermarket, or if we've witnessed something and we go to the car and we're like, wow, it was really sad the way that little guy was talking to his mom, you know, and we talk about what that means. And maybe we talk about respect and we talk about like later that little guy is going to really not feel good about that. So it's not as if he really had a lot of freedom in that, you know. So to be able to start to include those words of understanding of that self-donative and that freedom for something and not this desire to break away from something.
Right. Yes, I would concur. And I would also say that since we've really been having these conversations, trying to implement the word freedom into conversations when with my kids, even my littlest, even my 5-year-old, he doesn't really understand what I'm saying, but my 9-year-old boy, my 6-year-old daughter, definitely my older kids, but just talking about freedom. Okay, so you are in this moment, child, and you are super frustrated. You are super frustrated and upset because this child took your toy, whatever. And so you're the older child here. And what could you have done to free yourself from these gripping emotions that are making you miserable right now? And that is to be generous, to be kind. If you would have moved past caring that this kid just took your toy, then you wouldn't be gripped by anger and frustration and in this moment. I don't know if that sure. makes sense. Mm-hmm. But really just introducing the word freedom. Okay, I was with my niece earlier shopping for clothes. And, you know, she's really in a spot where she's trying to figure out. She's 15, trying to find a dress for her graduation. And she's in a spot where she's not really being given some. The culture is just taking over. And it's hard enough to find clothes. But when you don't have someone who can love. Lovingly, and I tried to inject as much humor as I could, really help you navigate this crazy culture. So I use the example. Okay, so if you put on a dress and you're always tugging on the bottom because you're afraid your hiney is going to show, then you in your own self know that that dress is too short because you're not comfortable. And so now you're wearing this dress, you keep pushing, pulling down because you're uncomfortable. Are you free to enjoy your time? No, there's no freedom in that because you're so worried that you're going to look cute but show your hiney. You're not enjoying your time because you're worried about what you're wearing. And so there was a moment in a dressing room where she put on the outfit and I said, see, you look cute, but you're comfortable too. You're not afraid of what's going to show. And she goes, I get it. Now, hopefully that sticks, but it's that it's pointing out what true freedom feels like. I don't think sometimes we even know what true freedom feels like. And we have to take it down to the level of where they are. That's one of the things Carrie was talking about was, mm-hmm. how do I meet them where they are to share that message?
Even if you have really little children, because I know we have a couple listeners, many listeners, who have little ones, like 3-year-old, 4-year-old. And we watch them in those moments where, you know, they have this beloved toy and, you know, they have a friend over, or you have friends over and they have small kids and that other person wants the toy. And there's a bit of a struggle. And of course, as moms, we would often encourage her, oh, it's okay. Let them have a turn. And they're like white knuckling that, right? That's really hard. But then they're like, okay, I can do this, right? And maybe later, like we would talk to our kids later, like, I loved how you did that. That was really awesome. I know that was hard for you because you really wanted to have that toy, but it was really great that you could give of yourself to that other person. That's even that moment of freedom, because we've all seen it with our little kids that they actually feel so much better about themselves when they can share, when they've been able to say, okay, I really want to keep this for myself, but I'm going to give it to you. They know at such a young age the truth and freedom of, and I'm saying that word because we're talking about it, they don't know that word, but they have something inherently in their heart that they feel good about when they give. I've never talked to one of my kids in bed and they said, Mommy, I felt so good today when I kept all that stuff to myself. No, right? They never did. But there was always that moment you're tucking them in bed and they're like, I know, I felt so good, Mom, when I shared because it was hard, but I did it, you know? And you're like, oh my gosh, they're so cute and they're so amazing. And it's just written on their heart. So there's two different facets. You know, you've got the older kids who I personally think are able to consume this information. Some parents are probably going to disagree with me on that. I know some parents have said to me, wow, I really can't believe, you know, you'd let your kid read Unprotected, which is a very difficult book to read. But it's important for us to know what's out there, because how can we have conversations and try to fight a narrative that's so against our core beliefs if we don't know the language and we don't know what we're fighting? You're going to know your child's temperament as well. Some aren't going to be able to handle certain things. Some are. And when we have the opportunity to treat our children with the intellect that they do have, now granted they're still developing their frontal lobe, so there's that, you got to kind of talk them through the consequences and did you really think about like what would happen in that case? One of my daughters said to me, Mom, I have to ask you a question. We were talking about this in health, and I'm just really curious as to your reaction. And she said to me, if I were raped because I was drunk, would you be mad at me that I got drunk? And I was like, oh my gosh, like really, do you think that how do you think I react? She's like, I don't know. And I was like, babes, if you think that you suffering a trauma would be swept under the rug because you got drunk, like, it was kind of like, it was a great question and we were able to talk about it. A majority of the girls in her class said, I wouldn't tell my parents that I got raped because they'd be so mad that I got drunk. And I thought, wow. And we talked about it. I said, I would never want you to suffer in silence ever. Even, you know, so the more we talk, she's like, yeah, Mom, I didn't really believe that, but it just, I don't know. I had to ask the question. I'm like, I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad you did. That even those moments of knowing what that freedom is, how would that be for a child, and I'm calling them a child, 15, 16, 17, that this stuff does happen to, is not having that conversation because they don't feel free enough with their parents to have that conversation.
Yeah. The one thing I've heard you say that you've done with your kids that I love, and I've started to say to my oldest ones is, you know, thank you. Number one, thank you for trusting me enough to come to me and talk to me about it.
Yeah.
And I love that because they do have the choice to not trust, right, or they do have the choice to just
right
go to someone else. I always went to somebody else when I was in high school. And I got myself into a lot of trouble doing it that way.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I do. And thanks for pointing that out, because I really do thank them, because I love that they do that. And also too, when I have moments, you know, I have said to my girls, and I probably need to say it more, but I've said, you know, we talk about things a lot. We talk about chastity. We talk about drinking. We talk about all the things that I hope that, you know, you're going to make a choice to not do. But I also want you to know that if you messed up, I'm here. And I love you. And no matter what, we'll always get through things together. Because I don't, you know, it's so hard, because we want to have these conversations with our kids about what this means, this element of freedom, freedom for, not freedom from. And because why? We love them. We don't want them to get involved in certain things. We don't want them to get involved in relationships that are going nowhere. We don't want them to get, you know, involved in, you know, just things that are a dead end. But the reality is they're going to still make choices and make mistakes despite what we've preached to them, right? So in that same breath, we have to also say, look, we're not perfect, and we're going to encounter times where we did something that we really wish we didn't. Know that 100% unconditional, I'm here for you, and we'll move through the next stage of it together. I think that's important too. But, you know, and I have had my girls come to me and say, you know, certain things, like I found myself in a situation that I probably shouldn't have, and I really wish I'd listened. There's no way in that conversation I'm going to be like, well, yeah, I wish you listened too. I mean, no, it's that moment of mercy, right? That's mercy. It's meeting somebody in their brokenness and loving them through that. And it might just mean silently hugging them and saying, I got you. No, I get it, babes. You know, that they feel safe. And then, of course, always thanking them, you know, that you trust me enough. So, I you know, it always comes down to talking, having that open line of communication with your kids, being available, receptive, and courageous, all in one swoop.
Yeah, definitely. Wow.
Oh, do they have to grow up?
I know. Well, it's like when you were visiting Kessie, and I was like, oh, all her kids are so cute. But you know, that baby, I'm obviously, I love babies. You know, but guess what? Every stage is awesome. And even the stages where, you know, you're falling in bed like, oh my gosh, like my 15-year-old is questioning me on everything. And we're frustrated. That's still good. That is still a good stage, because we're having a relationship with our kids. And I just think it's, yeah, we would love to keep them young forever, but it's really awesome too, because to see them blossoming into these young adults is really cool to witness.
Well, no, I mean, those are all really good things to think about. And I am excited to watch my kids grow and just entering into the teenage years. I have appreciated being able to have some very upfront conversations talking about pornography or, you know, just sex in general, and how the culture views it, how we view it, but getting to tell her the truth, these absolute truths that need to be spoken, and spoken with love, but with excitement. Mm-hmm. We should be excited about the truth that we have.
I have at times said to my kids, like, look, I know I can get worked up over things. And I know, as my son can say, Mom, you go to like 0 to 100 really fast. And you got to laugh at yourself as a mom, right? Be able to throw yourself under the bus too, right? So I say, yeah, I know I can be that way, but I want you to know, with the really big stuff, we're gonna take it slow, and we're gonna have an open conversation, and we're gonna love each other through it. Like that, I can't say that enough to them, right? Because it's a matter of time before they deal with a bunch of crap. I mean, it's not like, right? It is living the domestic church. It is going to be messy at times. It's going to be you know, really messy. And part of that messiness, at least in my house, is I was a mess. I'm not was, I, you know, still have my own issues. I've always been very honest with my kids with those issues. And again, I'm sure there's probably people on the other end of the line that are like cringing at the level of my honesty. But, you know, I've had my kids say, well, Mom, did you have sex with somebody other than Dad before you married him? You're like, yep. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my gosh. Then you can lie about it, or you can use it as an opportunity to say, yeah, I did. It was awful. Here's why I really wish I didn't. And here are the wounds, and here are the scars, and here's where I had to dig myself out of. And by the way, it's like the wise, what do they say? The smart person learns from their own mistakes. The wise person learns from another person's mistakes. I want my kids to be wise people. And if it means that they have to look at me and learn from a lot of the mistakes that I made, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make for them. Oh, yeah. I guess it's about the ability to be honest within reason, right? Obviously, if an 11-year-old asked me that question, that would be deflected. But if a 20-year-old asked me that question, now let's have a real serious conversation.
Right.
So
absolutely,
we need to speak from a place of really not just knowing the truth, but living the truth and understanding it. Doesn't mean if we didn't in the past, it's okay that we do now.
Right. 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 There is a kid's Bible that we have used in the past, and it's very sweet because every story, it talks about God's never ending, never changing. It talks about his love and how this will not ever change. And since my kids were little, I used to always sing the song to them, and it's kind of based off of this love of God. And it's, I won't sing it and hurt everybody's ears, but I'm basically saying, I will always love you no matter what you do. I will always love you, basically. And it's a catchy little tune. They all know it. They all can still sing it. But that's what I want them to know. It's like one of the most important things as a parent is knowing they have free will, forming them to help them use their free will for good and with virtue, but also being real enough that they know that we have failed. And we have had, and we still are failing. We still have to seek forgiveness. We still have to repair. And that it is, mercy is where we find that healing. And I want my kids to always know that they can come to me when they have failed. And my love is never ending and it is never failing. Now, I may mess it up and it may not look great. And I may say things I shouldn't say, but I always try to come back around, apologize for when I do it like that, when I handle a situation very poorly, explain the most I can, like you said, within reason of age, and then love on them. Be a place of security and mercy, because if they don't have that at home, they're going to find it. They're going to go find something to counterfeit somewhere else.
Sure. That's right. Well, I think we had another comment on the topic.
Yes. Yes. So then we had a woman who commented about the part on contraception. And so she was very honest. And I got to be honest, I very much appreciated how honest she was about it, how vulnerable she was, and how open to where her struggle is, and that they in their marriage are contracepting, and they're contracepting for a reason that is very difficult to walk through, and that's postpartum depression. And I don't have experience with postpartum depression, so I know that that's not something I can empathize with. But I definitely want to sympathize with her and encourage her in and why and how the church's teachings are there to guide her and keep her protected from other things.
Yeah, I saw that. And, my heart aches when I hear that. And when I read what she posted, what struck me is she said something about not sure her marriage could survive another depressive episode. Mm-hmm. Here's where I get concerned is, she is looking at children as the impetus to that, right? The launch pad to that depressive episode. And it obviously in her case, it happened twice. The question that needs to be asked is not so much, can her marriage survive another depressive episode, but can her marriage survive contraception? What we see with a lot of the studies with taking contraception is that women, in fact, suffer a lower quality of life. That this was a study that just came out of England in the Scientific Journal. So when we start to see more empirical data saying the opposite about mental health in contraception use. Now, it was a very the way it was worded was quality of life. There was a significant decrease in quality of life, but they did not have a directive to depressive episodes, right? So I want to, full disclosure on that. The option that I would love more women to be considering in their marriage is the fertility awareness-based methods, which is, the acronym is FABMs, the FAMs. They're inexpensive, they're green, they're as effective as hormonal contraceptions with correct use. So actually, Verily magazine just did an article on this. So maybe we could put that on the show notes. But sure. The first thing that you're going to see, though, if you're doing any research on this, because I'm big on research and knowing your sources. So the CDC did state that this method of action, has a failure rate of, 24 pregnancies per 100 women. Wow. Anybody's going to see that and be like, well, that's not effective. But the reality is that the study wasn't done well. So Dr. Marguerite Duane, she is an amazing doctor, professor at Georgetown. She's executive director of FACTS, the Fertility Appreciation Collaborative, to teach the science. So what they do is they are a movement to educate doctors, not so much the general public, but mostly those in the medical profession. So Dr. Duane explained that data, it actually comes from a retrospective survey based on patient recall. So right out of the chutes, it's a flawed methodology. I can't remember what I ate this morning. I'm like, wait, did I have that muffin today or yesterday? So for us to go back and recall and build a study off of that, right, that's really not a scientific study. So fertility awareness-based methods are based on, it's not the calendar method. So this is keeping track of your menstrual cycle days, knowing your fertility period. I mean, it's very, very scientific. Totally green, you're not ingesting a carcinogenic, which the CDC does list the pill as. The newest studies that have come out with the connection from contraception to breast cancer. I mean, that is evident. We can put those studies up as well. The reason I say the question that needs to be asked is, can my marriage survive contraception? Is that's the question that we have to ask. Because can our marriage survive the breast cancer diagnosis? Can the marriage survive, the stroke that can happen? These other things that are happening and taking place with the pill. So there are positive, excellent methods to abstain from pregnancy that are in keeping with the Catholic Church, that are scientifically effective, and they are healthy. So that's what I really encourage our listeners to read up on and understand at its core and in its depth.
Yeah, no, and it's good because I think a lot of people might feel that the teaching is insensitive to what they are experiencing. And that is absolutely not true. And our churches research in the medical field, the scientific research behind infertility, fertility, all these awareness, you know, all the awareness that is coming to fruition for us as in the Catholic community is a benefit. I love the way Jennifer Fulweiler talks about this. She's very open about her condition with, it's a blood clotting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like a blood disorder. And yeah.
I mean, it is severely serious. I mean, it's very serious. And her struggle through that, or her walk through that, I think is a great testimony. And even her awareness that, okay, actually, if I practice a fertility awareness method, my chances of getting pregnant are actually actually less than if I'm on the pill or whatever other birth control method someone is using. Mm-hmm. So it becomes this, I think Helen described it using the analogy of a parachute. Well, I think I'm safe now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just do this whenever. And yeah. So, and the teachings of the church on why it is good for us to even abstain, and the respect that happens between the man and the woman when you are respecting the woman's body the way she is, rather than seeing the body's woman as faulty or a burden, you know, all those other points do come into play. But anyway,
yeah.
There's so much more to talk about this, and we will. This is a topic we will cover in some future episodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Becky, what we're hearing is that we should have a podcast solely on the contraception issue. Mm-hmm. Talk about it in more depth.
Yeah, and Gloria Purvis has said that she would come back and talk about that. It's definitely a subject we need to talk about, and we need to support and encourage our listeners who are on a journey with it. Look, we've all had a journey on it.
Right.
Most of us have. Some are more difficult journeys than others, and I'll share my journey at some point, too, on the issue. I know we've both had our own struggles. Mm-hmm. And so please know that for all our listeners who are walking through it and discerning and praying, we are praying for you, and we are here. We are to be here with you and to walk this with you. So we don't want you to feel alone either.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So, but we'll just wrap it up with one more great comment was, kind of fun. You guys always have the best topics and the best guests. So that's I know, right?
That's awesome. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have the best listeners.
I totally agree.
And how about those? I got a shout out to our listeners in Japan.
And who are you, Japan listeners? Your listeners. Come on, we gotta know who you are.
I know. I see Norway pop up there and Germany, but like week after week we see our listeners in Japan just increasing. And you know, at first I jokingly said to Becky, oh, that may have been an accidental download. And then I'm like, that's not an accident. That's growing, right? Like, yeah. So it's great. So if you're listening and you are in Japan, shoot us an email. We'd love to hear who you are and your story and your journey.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us this week. We're so grateful for all of you with us in the trenches. You can find all these show notes, and there are a lot of them on our website at thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming.